The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Stevie Nicol. International football kind of dominates everything at the moment. That's where we start today's show. Hungary in action against England, the opening round of their Nations League games. And it would be Hungary who'd win by 1-0. That goal coming in the 66th minute from the penalty spot. Pen for you, Stevie.
Well, usually against England, I don't care whether it is or it isn't. But on this occasion, even I wouldn't have given it.
Wow, goodness me. For more on this game, let's welcome in, shall we, Jan Aga Fjortoft. Nader Manua joins us as well. Nader, what would you like to say about this match?
What would I like to say? I think we'll go more in depth when we talk about the Nations League as such. But I really enjoyed the game after Hungary scored. And I've got to say as well, I'm with Steve. I don't think that's a penalty. It seems to me like the type of thing where, you know, someone's shielding the ball out of play and are like for a goal kick, that sort of thing. And you just read the, you see the game in a different manner. So I didn't understand the penalty, but it was good. And I think in some ways, after that, you know, you saw Hungary fighting for their lives and for England throwing on extra players, throwing on like more attackers and so on to be able to try and score. So it made for like an entertaining climax. Because I'll be honest, before that, it really wasn't the best. But like I say, with this Nations League concept, obviously timing is an issue, but it makes for more competitive games. And I think that was definitely a case that we saw that today.
Jan?
Yeah, I follow that. I think that, like been said, we're going to talk about how many games you could play after 70 games for some of them. It's quite interesting that the top six teams in Europe didn't win this first round. I mean, something to do with the intensity. But the penalty, well, it gave him a chance for the Hungarian to go down, didn't he? Should it be a penalty? I'm not sure, but you see that sometimes being given. And then Szoboszlai had a chance to make a big win for Hungary, and everybody knew in this group with Hungary, Italy, Germany and Hungary that Hungary will lead this group. I mean, that is, everybody could see that happening.
Stevie, what's Gareth Southgate got out of this?
Nothing.
Oh.
Nothing. Not a thing. He got to see Jared, well, no, nothing. No? I mean, Jared Bowen would get something out of it because the next time he steps on the field in an England jersey, he'll be a lot calmer and I'm sure he'll do better than he did in this game.
But right.
Other than that,
same with
nothing.
Justin as well, obviously.
There's absolutely nothing that happened in this game that he didn't know before he started the game.
Right.
Nothing. Zero.
Do you agree, Nathan?
Well, I suppose in some ways he's given two more caps out. I think that means he's given maybe 50-plus debuts to players since he's been in charge. And to see Justin play and Bowen play, obviously they didn't have the best games possible. But it's, you know, it's a bit of experience, especially playing in Budapest in, you know, an empty stadium. Sorry, I mean 20,000 fans within it. So it's a tough one. I think they're on a 22-game unbeaten run, and that, I think, would have mattered to those players. It would have mattered to the manager. But the fact is, you know, everyone's essentially leaving the field. They're healthy. They've got another few games to go. And they know that, you know, in the grand scheme of the Nations League, this isn't like the final nail in the coffin. It's just the start. So, you know, he understands it's an honour to represent your national team, to coach your national team and the like. But I guess he'd rather have had the players have more time off, because as well, in this sort of period that we're going to see, you know, most teams play fewer games than this in a major competition. So for them to be playing four at the end of a season like they have done, you know, it's a strange spot. But for Gareth, I guess it's just on to the next game now.
Elsewhere in the group is Italy against Germany. Italy would open the scoring after 70 minutes. Nice wing play, Steve. I know you're impressed with the youngster that came on.
Well, it was like an old-fashioned winger, one-on-one, get after it, drop the shoulder, bit of pace. Then a beautiful ball across for Pellegrini.
Yeah, Notto then finding Pellegrini to make it 1-0. However, the lead didn't last long as Joshua Kimmich would get the equaliser to make it 1-1. So it's a point apiece. Hungary, as Jan said, top the group as everyone expected. Jan, what do we learn today from a German perspective?
I think I've learned a lot since Hansi Flick came on. He has now had 10 games, won 8 of them, 2 draws. It was an interesting game today, actually. It was quite a good game. Gnonto, the 18-year-old that Stevie mentioned, who did a perfect winger, came on, 18-year-old, made his debut from Zurich, and he played very well. But I like this German team. I think that Germany got something going on now. They've been down for a while. I think that they won't be favourites at the World Cup, but they've got something there. And if you see their squad, in the second half, they put them in a double substitution. They put on Kai Havertz and Gundogan. I mean, that shows quality. They look solid at the back with Süle and Rüdiger. Italy, well, they're not going to the World Cup, so I don't know what to say about them. They're in the Nation League.
It's not very often that you have a group of players from right across the board collectively agreeing on one thing. But certainly the timing of these internationals seems to have everybody on the same page. Kevin De Bruyne, for me, the Nations League is unimportant. Just glorified friendlies after a long and tough season. Fernando Santos, meanwhile, has come out, the Portugal manager, saying, 4 games in the space of 10 days. I've never experienced this before, not even in a tournament. Louis van Gaal came out and said it's actually crazy that the end of a season, which players also had to play so many games in a short time due to the COVID virus, they still have to play such a series of matches. You want more? Here's Bernardo Silva. There are too many games. We start the new season in a month's time, and I'm certain we're not going to be 100% ready. Van Dijk, meanwhile, came out and said we have no possibilities to change the Nations League schedule. Players should have an input in that. I believe De Bruyne then, just to wrap this up, also said, we could talk about vacation or rest, but we have no say. We have a little more than 3 weeks of vacation every 12 months. The outsiders don't understand how a player feels after a season. There isn't any point in saying anything about it. Nothing will change anyway. He's spot on there, Nadim, isn't it? They can whine, they can moan. UEFA don't care.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And also, you know, maybe some of this is coming because we have a World Cup in wintertime. You know, these sorts of things have happened and now people are trying to make changes. And it's a shame because I'll be honest, last year I thought one of the sort of best games that I saw or series of games that I saw were the semi-finals and the finals of the Nations League. But it felt good because it came at a time when it made sense. The group stages were happening at a time which made sense. But for as a player or as an ex-player, that feeling of the end of a season is one where you're like relieved, you've got a chance to relax and get ready and like just relax before getting into the next season. But for these guys who are playing at the very highest level, like these seasons, they never really finish, as Bernardo Silva said there. Like their next season starts in a month's time, yet still they're playing in these four fixtures through this period of time now. And for them, they don't want to turn their back on the national team and they don't want to turn their back on their teammates and so on. Yet still, this is what they're doing. So from a timing standpoint, it does seem wild. And 4 games in 10 days after the season that people have had, you know, it's crazy. And with Kevin De Bruyne specifically, I think at the start of the season, I think he almost felt like he fell out of love with football because the amount he was playing, the pain he was going through, and that's through seasons all merging together. And then lo and behold, here's another chance for that to be the case going into yet another season for him.
Yeah, and some would say, poor millionaire footballers complaining that they've got to play too much. Boo-hoo.
Yeah, but that is only a Twitter hoo-hoo thing. So let's talk about the politics here, because this is about FIFA, this is about the leagues, this is about UEFA quarrelling to get enough fixtures. There are all kind of evented tournaments out there. The Nation League as an idea, not bad. The fixture list is scandalous, of course. But I think that these players that we mentioned and that we quoted should start with their own associations, because UEFA is all the associations in Europe and they are the member countries and they should start criticizing themselves. So when they fill up, like Italy, FA, fill up in Bologna tonight, there was a great atmosphere there. But still, they have the chance to do something about it at UEFA. The players' organization's got to be better, because 4 games in 10 days after a season like this, this is a recipe how to get injured. And especially the big players who have played all these intense games over this season.
You know, the one thing, I agree with everything they've said. It's all about the money. The FAs, they want to get their piece of the change. But for people to understand about these types of games at the end of the season, yes, you're liable to get injured because you're fatigued, but you're actually more liable to get injured because you haven't prepared properly. Because half of your brain is on holiday,
right,
and the other half is thinking about playing these games before you go on holiday. So what happens is when you start playing the game, you're not fully committed all the time. And it's the time that you're not committed that you're going to get caught. You know, we always used to say as players, if you're going to go for a challenge, make sure you go 100%, because if you don't, you're more likely to get injured. And you have got hundreds of players running around the world right now in that sort of position,
right,
where they're going to get injured. And half of it is down to too many games, and the other half is down to their mind's not fully concentrated on what they should be doing.
It will be the same lineup for extra time today, as the boys will be answering your questions. Be sure to check that over on our YouTube channel. Plenty of tweets have come in over the last 24 hours.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Sadio Mane bagged a hat-trick on a Saturday to become the all-time leading goal scorer for Senegal. But you may have seen these strange old quotes that have been doing the rounds. When asked about an online poll that said 60 to 70% of the Senegalese people wanted Mane to leave Liverpool, he said basically, well, OK, then I'll do what the Senegal people wish. For more on this, so we've got Jan Naden with us, but Colin... It's interesting, isn't it? Because when you see what he says, it's very different to what it is written down.
Oh, yes. Look, the point is, Mane was actually joking. So I've been speaking with some folks in Senegal, and there's a term he used, bulwak dara. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but in Senegal, it's you can literally translate that to mean, that's in the Wolof language, to mean, don't tell anybody, but I'm going to tell you a little secret. So it was meant in a kind of joking way. And he was saying that while there wasn't actually a poll, but that he reads Senegalese newspapers, and it seems to appear that 60 to 70% of Senegalese want him to leave Liverpool. And so he goes, you know what, I'll tell you something. You know, just a little kind of like, this is between us, don't tell anyone. But, you know, maybe I'll do what they say, maybe not. So it was a joke, and then... it gets blown out of all proportion, and all of a sudden, it's like, he's listening to Senegalese people, and he's going to leave Liverpool.
Colin, are you surprised that we've got to this stage with regard to Mane's future and him looking to leave Liverpool?
Well, not really. Look, when you look at the wage structure at Liverpool, and you see that even though he signed a new contract that takes him up to about, I think, about 150,000 a week, he's still not among the top earners at Liverpool. And in all honesty, he's achieved everything he wants to accomplish at Liverpool. And if there's a bigger challenge, whether it's Bayern Munich, that as being mentioned, or maybe even Real Madrid, I mean, he's a football player. He's probably going to earn a lot more going there. And it also takes him, you know, to a bigger challenge. So I think if any of those two clubs or a bigger club come calling, well, not a bigger club, because Liverpool actually are European royalty. But you know what? If somebody offers him that kind of money or higher, and he's either Bayern or Real Madrid, you know, I think, yeah. But the fact that Liverpool have not, you know, sort of have got to the stage where we're even having this conversation, if I was Mane, I'd be feeling very undervalued.
Online polls, obviously, you can take for a pinch of salt. You could have Manchester United fans, Manchester City fans, all clicking that they want him to leave. But let's pretend, Colin, that this in fact was true, that 67% of Senegalese people do indeed want him to leave Liverpool. That seems high.
It is a bit high. I mean, again, like I say, he's accomplished everything he needs to accomplish at Liverpool. He's a Liverpool legend. He's broken all manner of records. So there's other opportunities for him to go and do things elsewhere. But if I were a Senegalese or if I were a Liverpool fan, I definitely would want Sadio Mane to stay at Liverpool. He's done great things there. He's been phenomenal for them. And it's a place where he's very comfortable. So maybe that might be the issue. Maybe he wants to go where, or maybe they want him to go where he'll be a bit uncomfortable and re-challenge himself over and over again. But he's still doing well for Liverpool. He's still doing well for Senegal. I mean, he just got a hat-trick today. So it's hard to think of what bigger challenge he might want to accomplish. He's won the AFCON. He's won the Champions League. He's won the Premier League with them. So maybe all that's left is just to win the World Cup.
Jan, I remember like when this story started to break, you were like, oh, this isn't happening, this is rubbish. Are you surprised it's developed in the way that it has?
I didn't say rubbish. I thought that Bayern Munich was used in this deal. I'm not sure, because in Germany they say that they more or less, he and his entourage has already agreed with Bayern Munich. That was my initial view on it. What is interesting, I find, with Mané and Lewandowski, players going to national teams, talking at the press conference, should be put on another entertainment channel, because this is what I talk about all the time. I find the way he's analyzed his comments, I think Colin did that great. But if we go down to facts as well, I think the top players in the world, they talk to each other. And we understand that Mané and Salah will earn around 7 to 8 million pounds less than Lewandowski in Bayern Munich. There is tend to be a movement somewhere. So I think it's interesting to see this mixture of how much Liverpool can pay for their best stars and how Liverpool want to freshen up with new players coming in. But I'm with Colin. If I will be desperate to hold on to both of them, because they are great players, and Mané showing today that, well, I can still do it. Doesn't matter what I talk about, the speculation about my future, I can do it. And Bayern Munich and the Bundesliga hope that this could be the big star of the new season, as they're now losing Haaland and, as it seems, also losing Robert Lewandowski.
Nadim, obviously, Colin, talking of new challenges, but how much of a challenge really is it going to a Bayern Munich side that will win the Bundesliga with or without Mané?
I think it's a challenge because he has to prove himself. You know, come on, Dan. Don't be so much of a wind-up. You never know. Maybe next year will be the year. Maybe. In regards to that, you know, he's an established player at Liverpool, established in the Premier League. He's a Liverpool legend. He's a Premier League icon at this point. So for him, you know, if he does end up leaving, then going to Bayern Munich is great, all the stuff that he's done, but it's more a case of, well, what can you do for me now? And the expectation that exists at that club in terms of, you know, wanting to win everything, trying to win everything, being as good as they are, the eyes that will be on them domestically, the eyes that are on them internationally, and also the fact that, you know, if Lewandowski leaves and you're the guy that comes in, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure put on you, because Lewandowski has been one of the most iconic players in Europe for the past 5-6 years or however long it's been. So, you know, it would be a new challenge. It would be different. And, you know, it must be a great position to be in, to be in demand. You know, Liverpool want you to stay. Liverpool, one of the biggest clubs, if not the biggest club in the world. And then Bayern Munich saying they maybe want you as well. Clearly he's doing something right. So more power to him. And in the end, you know, I hope the decision he makes is one which he ends up being very, very happy with. And I'm sure that he'll have plenty more good years ahead, because he doesn't even seem close to being on the decline, as we can see by the hat-trick today.
I love the challenge word. It's great, isn't it? He's basically saying, I want more dough. Come on. It's got nothing to do with the challenge. How's that a challenge? I heard Craig last week talking about it. It's over there. It's a bigger challenge when you're at the top to stay there.
Yeah.
So just say it's about the door. Right. It's about the money. Exactly. Come on. Just stop throwing in challenge. I will say, though, he's been fantastic for Liverpool. He still is fantastic. But the truth is, Liverpool and 99.9% of every other club can't pay everybody 5 and 6 million. And so you have to make choices.
And is this the right choice?
It is the right choice, in my opinion, because, 6 months ago, a guy called Diaz came. So you know what? If you can't pay everybody 5 or 6, you have to decide who you let go and who you keep. And if you have Diaz moving straight into that spot, then that's why, for me, if you can get the 40 million for Mané, then you do it.
Meanwhile, Jan, Mané going to Bayern Munich. Where do we stand on Lewandowski? What's he up to?
Robert Lewandowski, I don't want to use the metaphor of girls in a nightclub.
No,
Dan,
don't use that again.
No, I know. You were so shocked the last time, because I think that reminded you of some nights out. But while Bayern have been flirting with Erling Haaland now for a year, and Robert Lewandowski has known about this the whole time, and that is kind of prepared himself now to go. He has said that before. He wanted to go to Real Madrid. He wanted to force that move, but now he's going for it. And his agent, Sahavi, when he says something, Lewandowski can say, yeah, that was my agent, and I didn't mean it that way, and so on and so on. But now, while he was with Poland now, he was so clear. I won't play for Bayern again. And Salihamidzic and Oliver Kahn, they're desperate to get a replacement in for him. Mané would suit the bill because they would then say he's good for the Bundesliga, he's a star player, he's a brilliant player coming to our club. But it seems that he would go to Barcelona, although we have problem in Barcelona, but Tabas, the president of the Spanish FA, say they can't afford it and maybe they have to sell De Jong and so on and so on. But I can't see Robert Lewandowski playing for Bayern Munich next season. I can't see how that could be done. I mean, not even you, Dan, after that metaphor I did last time, can kind of find a way to solve that.
Yes, but back to your metaphor, what if I can't afford to buy any girls' drinks because I've spent it on De Jong or goodness knows Messi all back in the day? What happens if Barcelona can't afford him and he doesn't make that move?
Yeah, well, then he has to stay or go somewhere else. There are other clubs who want a striker as well. I think for the time being, he's probably talking about Xavi. Xavi is a great seller of the club. I'm talking about, for experience here, what he's talked with other players. So he is a great seller of the club, the club's ideas. I think that Robert Lewandowski finds that this time, he's 34 this summer, he can get a three-year contract there, a good deal, and stay there. But it's a challenge to get Barcelona back. But if he won't get Barcelona, there will be other clubs who will take him out. I mean, it looks like the relationship, especially between Salihamidzic and Robert Lewandowski, is so wide down, Dan, that you can't even buy a drink, not in terms of afford a drink. You won't even come to the bar. And so I think that Robert Lewandowski is history by Bayern Munich.
Also, interesting, some reports coming out, Colin, that Victor Osimhen could be a target for Bayern Munich if Lewandowski leaves. How highly do you rate him?
Oh, very, very, very highly. Look, you can see on the strip that his number of goals he's got, 18 goals in 32 games this season. That's phenomenal for a young striker. The only black mark you might see against him might be the fact that, you know, he's been injured a lot and ill a lot this season. So maybe you might think about that and look and think, okay, some major clubs might be looking at that and thinking, maybe we want to see him play a full season without illness or injury. But in terms of talent, in terms of determination, in terms of application, in terms of just giving 100% to the cause, Victor Osimhen is a great striker. And maybe also the cost might also be a factor, because what we understand is Napoli are holding out for about 100 million for him. So that might also discourage all but the most ardent of clubs. And if Lewandowski does get to leave Bayern, Victor Osimhen will be an option. I mean, we know clubs have been talking, I mean, likes of Arsenal, Man United and co. have been, you know, looking his way. So there's every possibility that he might not be at Napoli next season. I did get a chance to sort of, you know, chat to him a little bit. He wasn't giving anything away. He's a crafty young one. He wasn't giving anything away, but it's obvious that, you know, even if he's still at Napoli this season, I don't think he'll be there next season. Just, you know, because of the way clubs have looked at him and approached him and all the way he's been everywhere and what he's been able to do. And if he goes ahead and gets a full season at Napoli next season and scores and delivers the same way he's delivered this season, we can be looking at maybe 30, 35 goals from him, and then it's just completely blow up. 100 million at that point will be cheap for him.
As Colin rightly says, 100 million is the price tag that Napoli have put on him, Jan. Could Bayern afford that if they wanted to?
No. They won't do that with Osimhen. I think that the analyse there is correct. A great player, but he got to play more games, I would say. And I think the report and the people I talked to in Germany, he's not candidate number one. It seems like if Lewandowski go, they want to replace him with two players, the likes of Mané and a big number nine. But I think that won't be a 100 million euro man.
Colin, I understand we've got to say a special thank you today because you interrupted what your daughter's birthday party. Is that what we were hearing? Were we hearing that in the background, Colin? As you were, yes. Is that the party going on?
Oh my goodness, there she is.
There you go. The picture's there. Fantastic. Very good. Was it? Where is this? Bowling? Dave and Buster's? Where are we at?
No, it's called, I think it's Apex Entertainment. She turned 12, so they were doing a bit of bowling, playing some arcade games, and then have a birthday cake, and she would even offer me something. I mean, these kids.
And what role did you play in organising the birthday, Colin?
Well, my credit card played the roles.
Thank you very much, mate. Go get some cake. Just a reminder, for all the latest transfer news as it develops, be sure to check out Transfer Talk over on the website. Sunday sees Gareth Bale's Wales take on Ukraine with a place in the World Cup at stake. This is what the Welsh captain had to say ahead of the clash.
It's a massive game. I think there's no hiding it. We haven't qualified for World Cup ever in a proper way. We've only ever played in one World Cup, so this is a stepping stone that all of us want to take to play on the biggest level. And we have a massive game tomorrow that we're desperate to win and to achieve our goal.
Let's take a look. Wow, everyone's going for exactly the same scoreline. Exactly the same team going through. Wales to win 2-1, says everybody. Nathan, why?
For me, it's just because it's in Wales. I think if it was essentially anywhere else, I'd fancy Ukraine more. I think overall, like the way they play, the sort of feeling around them as a nation as well, and especially given that performance against Scotland the other day, you know, I'd really fancy them. But I think Wales as an underdog in their home sort of space, I think in some ways it suits them. And with, you know, Bale, who's obviously very inspired every time he pulls on that shirt, they go in there and, you know, there's an expectation that they'll be able to do it. I don't think they'll be scared of Ukraine, but they'll allow them to do what they do and then hope to sort of spring a few counterattacks and the like and, you know, make their way to a World Cup. So I'm going for them, but I don't think it'll be a game where, say, people finish and say Wales thoroughly deserved it. But I think Wales are very capable at home of getting that type of result.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking when I saw the interview with Gareth Bale, this is so typical. The whole world, except the people of Wales, want Ukraine to be at the World Cup. The whole world. I mean, the Eurovision Song Contest, everybody voted for them. There could have been a man and a woman coming on the stage saying hello, and they would have won the song contest. So it's so typical that Gareth Bale would probably get a hat-trick and knocking out Ukraine. That would kind of sum up his career. I mean, he's winning everything, but still don't get up on the popularity vote. So, but I still think that Wales would do it. I think that you can't be as bad as Scotland did against Ukraine. That is not possible. So I think that Wales will do it. They've got enough good players. They will have their little proud nation behind them, and they will go through to the World Cup.
Jan, for those in the States who don't know what the Eurovision Song Contest is, how would you describe it?
I will describe it that every state in USA had a singer going to Washington, having a big, big thing, and then all states will have a vote, and we have that in Europe, and everybody voted for Ukraine, everybody, and Russia was not in the competition for different reasons, or for one big reason.
Stevie, Eurovision Song Contest or prediction? What do you want to talk about?
Prediction.
Go on.
I'm pretty much with Nathan. You go with Wales because they are at home. They've got a fantastic record at home. Haven't lost for a year, I don't believe. And they will get a lift from that crowd. Ukraine, I think, will physically feel it after that game against Scotland.
Right.
So many of the players, it was their first game for a good 6-7 months. And you can't play back-to-back games with that sort of pressure and that physicality you need. I don't see them lasting. So, yeah, I've got to go for Wales.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Carlos Tevez officially retired from football this weekend. Quite the resume as well. He won the Premier League title 3 times, once the Champions League as well, and 2 times winner of the Italian League with Juventus. Nadim, of course, used to play with him at Manchester City. Oh, look at that.
Showing him a thing or two.
Oh, yes. The challenge is going in.
Yeah.
You missed the ball.
That's a foul, yeah. Missed it there as well, yeah.
Oh, right. Man.
Yep.
Any Tevez tales for us? Obviously very much held in high regard regarding the City fans, considering he crossed from red to blue.
Yes, he did, and that was such a significant time for City because we can look at their history. But that there, in terms of bringing over one of United's best players and making them blue, and then, you know, the billboard that was in Manchester sort of antagonising all the United fans as well, was truly iconic. And with Carlos, I think one of the best things that I sort of found with him was it was his work rate, it was his desire. He wanted to match it. And off the field, he was great because he was always trying to push to make things better. You know, he wasn't just an on-the-field guy, he was an off-the-field guy as well, making sure the players and staff were all looked after. Like, this Carlos was the guy who come there, I think it was either Christmas or the end of the season, instead of giving, like, staff money and stuff. I remember one time he bought them all, like, massive TVs, but it was still a fact, it was still a nice gesture because he just wanted to give them something. And also, my biggest thing, my only issue I had with Carlos Tevez was in a game when we beat Birmingham City 5-1. I thought I'd scored 2 goals, but he said one of them brushed off his foot. And because of that, he took it, and I think he was trying to go for top scorer in the Premier League. And instead of me having a nice career moment where I had a brace, he said that one of them was his, so even though he did nothing about it. So, you know, he was an incredible player for City, incredible player overall, and a really, really nice guy. And, you know, some of the stuff which we heard about him being spoken about under Mancini and the like, you know, it just wasn't true. Carlos was a great teammate, and it was an absolute pleasure to play with him.
Did he get the last touch, Nadim?
No, well, interestingly, about this, here's my story. Over things like that, they don't look at the video. They say the two of you had to make a decision together, and Carlos said, this is my goal. And me being little old me, I said, okay, fine, you take it then. It's all yours. So, yeah, I just had to stick with one in the game instead.
You crumbled, Nadim.
Massively. I hold my hands up. I did. He was 2 years older. He was Carlos Tevez, formerly of Man United, all that jazz. And I was just little old me, just sitting in this monochrome living room. So, yeah, I had to say it's yours. Take it.
Thank you very much. Just a reminder, plenty of content over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go to ESPN FC and subscribe.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The US men continue their summer tour tomorrow as they take on Uruguay in Kansas City. And speaking ahead of the game, it's Eric Palmer-Brown and Tim Weir.
What kind of opportunity does it provide for you guys, such a young team, to be able to play a team like Uruguay, who's been in the knockout stages at the World Cup each of the last 3 tournaments?
I think it's going to be amazing. I mean, a lot of us are young, and you know, we're still getting that experience against these high-level teams. So I feel like playing a team like Uruguay, that has a lot of stars, is amazing. It's, for me, it's a dream come true. It's what I've always dreamed of. You know, playing at such a high level against the best, and you know, that's what this opportunity proposes. And yeah, we just have to like I said, stay focused, stick to our game plan, and go out there with a lot of heart. Even though it's a friendly, we want to show that we can be serious about it and win. Yeah.
Like Tim said, these are the moments you dream of, like as a kid, playing these games, playing these big moment games, and to go out there in Kansas City, it's going to be an amazing feeling to go show what we can do against a quality opponent.
Greg Berhalter's already announced his starting 11 for the side. The most striking addition, Wes McKennie, back for the first time, of course, since picking up that injury with Juventus. Casey Keller will be joining us on the next edition of the show to reflect on that game between the US men and Uruguay. Be sure to join us. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Nadim is back, as is Jan. But a big revelation in extra time, spoiler alert, is how much Stevie paid for a birthday cake for his granddaughter. You wouldn't be able to guess it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC's Extra Time. I'm Dan Thomas, Stevie Nicol with us here in the studio. Nadim and Jan also join us.
What was that?
It's a Saturday, isn't it? Saturday. Just trying to get words out. It's a bit tricky. I learned something new about you today, Stevie. You don't like to eat outside.
No.
Why?
I don't know. I don't like the flies and stuff.
Right. Well, it's not always flies, is it?
No, but it's just annoying.
Oh.
I don't mind having a beer outside in the sun.
Right, but...
But eating outside...
But eating is too much.
No, I don't like it.
Nadim, we had a lovely lunch outside, didn't we, that time? Oh, good times.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, such good times. Oh. Bring it back.
Bit more enthusiasm, Nadim. That'd be good. Okay. Yeah, and with rumours of Jose Mourinho going to PSG, how can anyone associated with PSG think that Jose will play the kind of football Mbappe and Messi expect?
What is the play they expect these three players? What is it? I'm not sure. I mean, now that Mbappé has taken all over, the head of sport, the new president, investor, owning everything, he could maybe think that you need a big man like Mourinho. Mourinho knows how to get the best out of the players and so on and so on. So if they fire, and when they fire Pochettino, I'll guess Mourinho will be on the list, but knowing Mourinho, knowing Jorge Mendes, this is probably something that some way has come into the media and we'll take it from there. I think I understand that the Italian media say this is not true, so this is going to be continued.
Jan, who were the three most impressive youngsters in the Bundesliga in the last year?
Well, the usual suspects, and we do forget how young they are. I mean, Erling Haaland, still with some injuries, still managed to have a great season for them. Jude Bellingham can be as good as he wants. I mean, he could be number 6, number 8, and number 10. And he's a great, great lad as well. So he will be there. And I also will have an extra mention for Musiala, who came on today for Germany again. He looks like Bambi in one of those Disney films. But wow, he's strong when he got the ball on the pitch. And if I can take a candidate as the on the sub bench will be Schlotterbeck, the centre half of Freiburg, who has now gone to Dortmund. We will know a lot about him next season. He will be interesting to follow him taking another step and going to a club where he will get a lot of more mentions.
Nadim, in the Premier League, which player caught your eye this year that you're looking forward to seeing if they continue to develop next season?
To pick one player is quite difficult, so I'll kind of spread out a little bit. And I think the obvious one really for me is Luis Diaz. I think when he came in January, I thought he hit the ground running. I thought he was spectacular for Liverpool over the second half of the season, to a point where at times he felt like their biggest threat, and that's incredible considering Mane was there, Salah was there, Jota, Firmino, the works. So there's definitely him. But the one I want to mention is Conor Gallagher. I think seeing the season that he's just had at Crystal Palace, I thought he was very, very good for them. But he was just on loan, and he's on loan from Chelsea. So will he be playing in the Premier League next season for Chelsea, or will he have to go elsewhere to find some football again? And when he does, like, what sort of player will he be going into that second season? I think it makes for a really exciting time for him, and it's good to see that, you know, essentially he'd be wanted.
Clint Dempsey once said, how's your Clint Dempsey accent, Stevie? You know him better than any of us.
I don't have a Clint Dempsey accent.
He said, apparently, you don't know where I'm from, dog. I'm sure he didn't quite say in that tone. To Micah Richards, what's the funniest thing an opponent has said to you? Anything spring
where
to mind?
Where do you start? I will do one.
Go on.
I can do. I did in a Premiership. I think that. I mean, people don't remember me for a lot of things, but I think they do remember me kissing Tim Flowers on the mouth.
Yeah.
It was a great photo, that, and that was me and Tim Flowers. Before a corner kick, we were knocking like strikers do on the keepers, and I said to him, if you knock me down again, or if you try to knock me again, I will kiss you on your mouth. And he said to me, oh, you won't dare to do that. And then he knocked me, and here we go. A great photo was all on the gay magazines in the UK on the front pages, which I'm very proud of. Fantastic photo.
You're kissing Tim Flowers, I mean, punched by Roy Keane. I feel they're the two main things that you contributed during your Premier League campaigns.
and one of the highlights,
we kissed him on the lips.
What?
Have you not seen the picture?
No.
Yes.
Why?
Because he was winding him up. He said, he just told the story.
But I had this kind of visual in my head. I'm trying to figure out why he would do that.
Because he said, if you push me down again, I'm going to kiss you on the lips. And he pushed him, and so he kissed him.
Oh, so I wouldn't go that far.
One of the highlights, when I see you, Stevie, I will give you a kiss. But one of the highlights of the season is when I was in Nottingham, and I was doing the Liverpool, the FA Cup game there. And I was waiting for Steve Cooper to come in to get my interview. So then Roy Keane came, and he came straight over and said, Jan, I didn't even touch you when I tried to. So that was a great comment. You have to be.
That's brilliant.
Said.
That's very good. Nathan?
Yeah, do you know, I've got to say, in fairness, that Clint Dempsey thing, I think Micah and I were both at City at the same time when that happened. And Clint did carry himself like that. Like, if you did bump and barge him, he would kind of say, hey, you don't know me. But I'm like, yeah, but we're on a football field. Nothing's really going to happen. But in terms of funny things that have been said to me, I think the biggest one was probably when I had my thing with Ibrahimovic when he was at Galaxy and I was at Real Salt Lake. And he scored the winner and all this stuff on the field, so I'm frustrated. And then to be in the dressing room and see his big 6'4" self walk in and then ask me, have I calmed down yet? I'm like, I don't even know you. Like, what's going on? Like, it was the weirdest moment I've probably ever had in football. As an opposition player is in the dressing room trying to humiliate me in front of all my teammates after we've just lost. Like, huh? What? So I'd probably have to say that one.
Clint had won a training one day. We were doing this drill, so we got a few of the boys to do it, and Clint was one of them doing it. And Paul was standing on the corner he was going to end up on.
Okay.
So we showed everybody, we're doing this drill, right, and then we broke everybody up, right. Go into your groups and everybody do the drill. And as he's leaving the corner, he turns to Paul Clint and he goes, hey, big man, I came here to learn and now I'm teaching.
And he walked off. His speech was really good. Have you seen his speech for the induction?
Yeah,
it's beautiful,
yeah,
isn't it? Really, really nice speech. You get a chance to have a look at that. Yeah. Thanking his parents, very emotional. Jan, predictions for the biggest flop of the World Cup? In negative?
Ooh, that's a hard one, because what is a flop? It's like saying Messi will never win a World Cup. I don't dare to say that, because then I would have all the social media and Messi things, so I can't do that. I can probably not saying that I don't think Brazil will do well. I can't say that either. So there I have two candidates for that position. A biggest flop so far is Italy not going there. But I'm not sure about this Brazilian team. I will have to put them on a slowly soft candidate list of maybe being a flop. And for me, flop will be then going to the knockout stages and be knocked out.
Wow, Jan says.
What about Belgium?
Well,
good point. Could be the biggest flop.
Yeah.
They looked
golden generation.
You killed them yesterday.
Oh, they were awful. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. They were so bad.
But But it's a game that doesn't really matter, is it? That's what we
well,
already established.
Is, the only problem is, it's very easy to say that.
Right.
But do you think in 6 months' time, particularly that back three of Alderweireld, Vertonghen and Boyata, are going to be any faster?
Maybe.
No.
And when I say fast, I'm kind of stretching the imagination. I mean, they're awful. In the middle of the park, take De Bruyne out of there. What have you got?
Right.
You've got nothing. I mean, nothing.
Hmm.
Nadim, which United will finish highest next season? This is good. Manchester, Newcastle, West Ham or Leeds?
Oh, good question.
Oh, my God. Well, we've got to get rid of Leeds.
Right.
They're not going to be in the conversation, doesn't feel like. Do you know, I'm getting sucked in again. Like, I'm living this nightmare again because when the last manager came in for United, I thought, you know, this is it. United are back. They're going to crack on. They're going to finish top four. And I had them finishing fourth. And then they were an absolute disaster for the last, like, 3-4 months of the season. But again, I'm thinking, well, Ten Hag's coming in. You know, he'll fix everything. There'll be some new talent or something like that. Oh, this is horrible. Newcastle. Well, no. I've got to say Man United.
I
have to say Man United. Like, I can't escape it. Yeah, it's painful. But Man United, then...
That was painful, wasn't it?
West Ham, then Newcastle, Yeah.
But Dan, I went to the Champions League final and then I had the Austrian journalist coming over and I said, Jan, what do you mean? What do you think the Ragnik going to Austria? What do you think it is? It's scandalous. I mean, I can't believe that we are hiring him and his staff. Only Germans. I can't believe it. He's useless. And I said, I think he would be a good national coach for Austria. Pardon? He will be a good national coach for them. Well, no, they won 3-0 away at Croatia, which was one of the results of this nation league. So, but I'm a bit with Nathan because I think as well, I got a feeling that Ten Hag will somehow be a good leader for them. I think they will have a more unity. Cristiano Ronaldo coming out. And the biggest problem at Manchester United now was player of the season, I saw. So maybe that's Cristiano Ronaldo. So maybe this could be a better season. I don't think they will be top four, but I think they will be the best United.
Yeah, I'm going with Manchester United. Yeah, I think Newcastle were playing with house money, to be honest, after they got themselves in a position where they couldn't be relegated because the other lot were just not good.
Right.
Leeds are not anywhere close to that. West Ham had to see if they're, you know, the way West Ham finished the season is kind of what we generally would expect from them most of the time. And Ten Hag coming in, I think Manchester United.
There you go. We say a little bit more enthusiasm. People say we're anti-Manchester United on this show.
I wonder where they got that
impression. I don't know why this question is for Nadim, but there we go. Who's your early favourite to get relegated, Nadim?
Oh, wow. That's very close to the bone. I think it has to be, unfortunately, I've got to say Nottingham Forest. I think when you look at, say, the sides that go up automatically, like traditionally, and you see teams like Norwich, who can be very good in the Championship, Fulham, be very good in the Championship. Like, Forest don't feel like they're on the same sort of tier as them. So I don't see how they would then go to the Premier League and be in a good position. I think the squad that they have is a good Championship squad. I don't think it's one essential at this moment which will score enough goals and be able to sort of like not concede as many to be able to be competitive in the Premier League. But in Cooper, they've got a good manager. But again, he's unproven at the highest level. So I'm going to have to say them, but I'm more than happy to be proven wrong because I do have people who work for Nottingham Forest.
You have people who work for Nottingham Forest, did you say, Nathan?
I have friends. I have my people work for Forest, I've got a few peeps, yeah. I've got a few peeps, so hopefully they'll do well. But they're not playing, so, yeah. There we go.
Jan, do you agree, Forest?
Well, I certainly don't hope so. I'm so happy that Nottingham Forest is back. I mean, when I grew up, when I was really, really into English football, Nottingham Forest was the team. I think that Steve Cooper will do brilliantly in the Premier League. They will be a fresh win. So I would go, they will stay in. I would say Bournemouth, Fulham, and I would say Southampton going down.
Wow. Stevie, without Mane, does Liverpool stand a chance against City next season, particularly with Haaland filling the gap of missing striker?
Well, as we said on the show, you know, if you're losing Mane and then you're either looking for somebody or you're playing a kid,
yeah,
and they've just signed a kid, Cavallo from Fulham, if you're relying on that, then you've got to say yes.
Right.
But that's not the truth. The truth is they've got Diaz to step into his shoes, which, from what we saw, ain't a bad second best.
So they do stand a chance?
Absolutely they stand a chance.
Besides a striker, Nadim, since they signed Haaland, where should Manchester City look to improve to give themselves a better chance in the Champions League next season?
The Champions League, that thing, yeah? That, looking for that one player that will just make guarantee they win it. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But I think in terms of who they are and what they want to be, with Fernandinho leaving, you know, they need somebody who's going to be able to play that sixth position, whether it's as a regular starter or as a backup. You know, there's talk that Gundogan's going to be leaving, so you'll be needing another significant number eight like that as well. So yeah, just the name, but those two players, and I'm sure there'll be other people in and around the squad who probably haven't played as many games this year as they'd wanted to, so they're probably looking to leave to try and find more football. So I think the pressing issue in my eyes is going to be in that midfield area. So if they can find one or two that can sort of fill the void that will be taken up by Fernandinho or elsewhere, then I think that's going to be key.
What are you up to tomorrow, Nathan? What's the plans?
What's the plan tomorrow? Sunday? Well, interestingly, so Colin's daughter's birthday was on Thursday. It was my daughter's birthday on Thursday as well.
Oh.
And she was five. One sec.
Oh.
Uh-oh. And look, I'm changing my background. I'm changing my background.
Hey!
There we go.
Still no colour, though, really.
No, there you go.
A bit vanilla.
Fine. Colour in there.
What was her special present, then? And what was her main gift? Five-year-old?
No, just you know, I just let my wife use my credit card. That's the gift.
There you go. Good. Nicely invested. Yeah, and why did you? What's the relevance of the teddy?
I just want to be a part of Nedden's birthday party. I just want. This is my son. He's 28 now. His favorite teddy. He's nice, huh?
Actually, my granddaughter's birthday party I was at on Tuesday as well.
How much did you pay for your cake, Nadim?
Yeah. I bet you never paid what I did.
To be fair, we've had two cakes this week, so yeah, maybe I did. Maybe I did. Who knows?
Was it three figures, Nadim?
Oh, no, it definitely was not that. I can't afford those sort of prices, no. I'm only part-time.
Seriously. Was it three figures at least for both of them? Make me feel better.
Cumulatively.
Make me feel better.
Yes.
Feel a bit better.
Okay,
now.
Then, yes. Just
not
you,
a lot,
then.
But better.
How big is the cake? Because how much is it? What, about 180?
No, it's like 200 and...
Blimmin' heck, Stevie.
It's like $200, isn't it?
Was there money in the cake?
I'm
telling you.
Wow.
Seriously.
What?
What are you looking at me for? How do I know?
Is it massive?
No, it's... Put it this way. The decoration, there's a lot of attention to detail in it.
Okay.
Shall we put it that way? And the inside of it tastes like cake, surprisingly enough.
Right, and you don't really like cake either, do you?
Oh, I had a bit of this thing, don't you worry.
Right, just to make sure.
I had a bit of this.
Who was inside, Justin Bieber?
Yeah.
Craig.
Yeah.
That is it. We are done. ESPN SC will be back on your screen tomorrow. When's the next birthday, Stevie? You've got to cough up a cake for. It sets a precedent.
Oh, come
on. Save some money. All right, we will be back tomorrow for more. Be sure to join us then.